Shagar, how are you?
I'm doing well, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Guys are like stalking you and what you eat nowadays. Did you see that tweet?
No, I missed it. What happened?
Well, some guy tweeted at me. Now, I don't know if it's true. Did you have a double Big Mac order today with a Diet Coke?
No.
Oh, yeah.
A double Big Mac? Who said that?
Some guy on Twitter was saying you were eating that. True or false?
Absolutely 100% false.
Okay. Well, maybe
I don't know the last time I had a Big Mac. I had a lot of McDonald's when I was at the Olympics in Russia because it was the only thing over there to eat, but did not have a double Big Mac today. Who said that?
Well, go look at his Twitter handle. I have no idea.
How did that I'm just looking at it. How did that supersized double Big Mac meal with Diet Coke go down? Ab health.
Yeah. maybe you've got
Oh, wait a second. I know why. Because Randine and I we had to meet, and then we had to go somewhere together, and we used the McDonald's parking lot as a meeting space at the halfway point. So, yes, the truck was at McDonald's today, but I did not partake.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's
good.
Funny.
Mm, well, that's funny. You got a lot of stalkers
man,
out there.
That's the problem with having a marked vehicle, hey?
Oh, yeah. Try having your name on your vehicle for 5 years. That was fun.
Didn't you have your face on the side?
Never,
knew. I recall a
never once. It was offered and politely declined every time. Are you kidding me?
My good buddy Brett Kissel used to have a truck.
I remember.
Remember that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Brett Kissel in a cowboy hat, just plastered to the side of the truck. It was like you pull up in front of your house, like, oh, I wonder who's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Staring in through your front window.
Anton Lander.
Yes,
basically,
sir.
An average salary of $1 million for the next two seasons. Shagar, I know you're aware of this, but some people, it's called a value contract. We don't see these very often in Edmonton, but this is a value contract.
It could be, yeah. It very much depends on what Anton Lander gives them. If this is the Anton, let's say he plays similar to this for next season, then that's a decent contract. They'll give them, 12 to 15 or 16 goals. Yeoman's work. He works hard.
Buddy, that's a steal of a deal. Gordon's getting $3 million to win faceoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon is, I would say that Lander is working towards having a similar type of defensive game that Boyd Gordon has, but Lander probably has a little more offensive upside. He doesn't win faceoffs at the same pace that Gordon wins them. And that's one thing Anton needs to, get a little bit more consistency with is his face-off percentage. He kind of goes up and down game to game quite a bit. But yeah, for sure. If he ends up being their third line center partway through next season, because he's playing ahead of Boyd Gordon, then absolutely it's a value contract and a nice turnaround for a guy who probably a lot of people were surprised was even playing in North America this season.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He was a player. Well, and it's funny because everyone's like, wow, the Oilers, they waived and they almost lost him. No, because no other team claimed him. And every team has guys out of their entry-level contract they're not sure about that they go through waivers every year and they're never claimed. It happens all the time around the NHL.
Yeah, no, it does. And for Lander, this is a pretty major turnaround. Now, his turnaround coincides directly with Todd Nelson's emergence at the NHL level with him. And so there will be a lot riding on this coaching decision for Anton Lander. I mean, he's going to have to play good no matter who his head coach is next year. But there seems to be a real connection with him and Todd Nelson. Lander's best hockey has been playing for Todd Nelson, both in the American League and in the National Hockey League. What if it's not Todd Nelson next season? And Anton is going to have to, his play is going to have to, stay at a high level. It's a one-way deal. So, I mean, he's largely on the team next season, and he's earned it. But whether it's Todd Nelson or not, he needs to maintain this level that he's found now.
Well, yeah, I was talking about that. It can't just be well, these guys only play well under a coach. It helps gain some confidence, but as a professional, because you can't say, well, we can only have a coach who these guys know. That's not going to work, right? So
no, not at all. But my point is that his best success in the National Hockey League has come with Todd Nelson, a familiar face, somebody that he knows, trusts him, somebody that has shown trust in him, somebody who probably gave him opportunity he hadn't necessarily deserved at this level yet, but who believed in him. Well, if it's a fresh face next year and everybody starts with a clean slate, Anton Lander doesn't get off on the right foot, he's going to have to be a battler. He's going to have to battle and fight and claw and scrape his way to the NHL because to stay in the NHL because he wasn't really able to do that this last time around until it was Todd Nelson giving him that opportunity. He wasn't able to do that with Dallas Eakins. His play didn't warrant it. So whoever the coach is next year, he needs to play the way he's playing right now.
Oh, well, I think it also helps when you become more NHL ready, right? I think Nelson's part of it and being NHL ready. And which leads me to the next question. Now that Anton Lander's signed, what do you think Nail Yakupov should get in his next contract?
Oh, man, that's one where you pull your hair out trying to figure it out. I mean, he's just out of entry level here. So, I mean, it's not like the player has a ton of negotiating power. And I'm trying to recall, what did they do with Gagne out of his entry level deal? They did a 2-year deal out of entry level with Gagne, didn't they? Do you even recall
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they got a 2-year deal, right? Because then he went 1 year, and then he went 1 year. Then he got 3 years.
Yeah, a couple million bucks out of his first deal. Like, this is going to be really hard to figure out, like, what Yakupov's going to want, what his value is. Yeah, it's going to be really tough. So, I mean, honestly, I don't even know how that negotiation will sound. I mean, 12 goals this season, 30 points. Not that great. It's just not. His points per game is not that great. So over the course of his first 3 seasons. So I don't know, man. They'll have to give him a raise, and it'll probably be short term. Maybe, I don't know, a couple million bucks, I would guess. Yeah, what do you think?
I said between 1.5 and 2 is realistically where it sits at. This year, unless something changes drastically in the last 5 games of the year, he's not even going to make his bonus, because the bonuses he had were, like, you know, most standard ones, 20 goals, 35 assists, 60 points, plus minus, which obviously he won't be part of, all-star games, all that stuff. Then there's the if you're top 6 in ice time amongst forwards, and he's currently 8th amongst forwards. Mm-hmm. All right, so he would need a pretty big jump to get into that. So that means he makes 925,000, right? Sam Gagne's second contract was 2.275 million. And Sam Gagne's 3 years of his NHL career were more productive overall than at Nail Yakupov's.
So, you know, now the price of doing business has probably gone up a little bit since back then. So yeah, you're probably close in that 1.75 to 2 and a touch, depending on how the negotiation goes. But it'll probably be a 2-year deal, and he'll have a couple more years to try and get his feet underneath him and show that he is worth some more significant money and some more significant term. But Yakupov is an interesting one, man, because he's been better and the numbers have improved a little bit. I think you watch him play and you can tell that he's playing better hockey. But for a first overall pick, there's still a long way to go, boy.
Oh, yeah. A long way to go. No doubt about that for sure. And, you know, that's how it is for a lot of young players, which is why, to me, a 2-year, I don't see Yakupov signing a long-term deal because he's not going to get any money that's going to entice him to sign a long-term deal. So it's likely a 1 or 2-year deal. And because the Edmonton Oilers did not take advantage of the situation with Justin Schultz. And I'm telling you, this is business. Anybody who owns a business realizes at times you separate business from personal. You never combine the two. And the Oilers last year, that's what they did. They're like, well, Justin Schultz gave them an out when he agreed not to go to arbitration, right? So now they're like, well, sorry, Justin, which I said all summer, 2.2, 2.5 is where he should have signed. They gave him 3.6, and now look what happens. He didn't improve, and now they got to give him 3.6 again.
Yeah. No, you need to take advantage where you can without flat out, you know, running people out of town or pissing people off too much. And the problem last year with that was, you know, Craig McTavish, I think, had an idea in mind of what a long-term deal would look like. And Schultz, I think, wanted way more than McTavish was willing to pay him. But, you know, he had given Hall, Nugent-Hopkins, Everly, given them all their long-term big money deals. And now wasn't even putting it on the table for Schultz. And I think they needed to find a way to sign him without sending him the
easy.
Message that
yeah,
he wasn't wanted.
McTavish wasn't the guy that gave those deals, though, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, no, for sure. But, well, did McTavish not do Nugent Hopkins? I'm pretty sure he did. I remember him sitting
okay,
at the
yeah, you're right.
Nugent
he did
Hopkins.
Sign Nuge. My bad. The thing about Nugent Hopkins was, A, Nugent Hopkins' rookie year still showed way more potential than Justin Schultz ever had.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess what I'm saying is I agree with you that they made a mistake. They gave him too much money. Craig McTavish at that point, I mean, Norris Trophy potential, right? I mean, this is the way they were looking at this young defenseman. They wanted to get him done long term. They weren't able to come to terms on a deal. So in lieu of a long term deal, they wanted to get a deal done with him that would sort of make him feel like he's still in the plans. He's still part of the plans. And you're right. It was emotion. It wasn't strictly strong business, and now they've got a guy who's underperformed for the money he's making, and now they'll have no choice but to give him that money or more heading into next season. And now it's on Schultz to live up to the money that he's making and try and take a step and improve because, you know, the payday will come. Who knows? I mean, would you expect him to do more than a one-year deal? I don't think he's going to do more than a one-year deal now.
Yeah, well, 2 years the most, but I would agree, probably a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What he should do. Shauger, have yourself a good weekend. Orders tonight, do they keep it within three goals?
Yeah, I think they will. Okay. I think that Todd Nelson has shown he can get a pretty good bounce-back effort from his team after a stinker. So I think they'll keep it close. I think LA still wins, but maybe the Orders grab a point out of there somehow.
A point?
They haven't
wow.
really played back-to-back horrible games under Nelson yet.
Yeah.
So I think they'll at least put up a fight.
Yeah. Well, they did play brutal against Pittsburgh and Toronto.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Not
yeah,
on the same nights, ones. But they have rebounded. However, the LA Kings are going to be a desperate hockey team, and they have owned the Oilers. I know the Oilers did get a win in a shootout where they got outshot 39-21 and Scriven stood on his head, right, in Nelson's first win. But other than that, they've been outscored 13-5 this year. Last year, they were outscored 11-3 in four games, but outshot 186-86. I see it being ugly tonight.
The thing is that there were some Oilers who had ugly nights last night, a lot of them. I mean, Taylor Hall had an ugly night last night. Oscar Klefbom had an ugly night last night. Clint Cameron had an ugly night. A bunch of guys had ugly nights. And from what we've seen in the way Todd Nelson can get his team to bounce back, I don't think they're going to lay another egg. I think that they'll at least be in the fight tonight. So whatever that score looks like, I think we'll be talking about, you know, a desperate LA team that got by an Oilers team that at least played better.
Shauger, we'll talk to you Monday. Have a good Easter.
Yeah, you too, pal. All the best to you and yours.